RadioArchives.com presents Shadow of Evil, An Adventure of the Black Bat by G. Wayman Jones, read by Milton Bagby. Out of the night comes a menacing winged figure, the Black Bat. Blind District Attorney Tony Quinn takes his battle for justice from the courtrooms to the streets, prowling the city skyline as the Black Bat. His prey, criminals who live beyond the reach of the law. Masked, cloaked like a gigantic bat, and able to see in pitch darkness, the Black Bat is assisted by hulking Butch O'Leary and former con man Silk Kirby, as well as the resourceful Carol Baldwin, the daughter of the lawman who donated his eyes so that Tony Quinn could resume his war against the underworld. A war to the death, fought with scientific skill and blazing 45 automatics. Operating outside the law, the Black Bat is relentlessly hounded by Police Captain McGrath, who suspects that the blind DA is really the human bat who breaks laws in order to uphold justice. And now, the Black Bat's thrilling adventure, Shadow of Evil. Chapter 1. The Perfect Crime. The men who paced the corridor on the second floor of the big office building kept hands glued to the guns that were holstered at their hips. Although nobody moved around the long corridor, they were alert just the same. Armored car guards have to be. The entire floor was taken up by the Alvin Protection Company, specialists in payroll work. Their trucks picked up cash at banks, brought it to these offices, and clerks made up the envelopes. Small and large firms used the service because of its efficiency and convenience. Banks, pressed with work brought on by the gigantic defense efforts, were requesting more and more firms to pay by cash and relieve them of the enormous flow of checks that hampered their other duties. Each of the several doors that led into the offices was specially made of thick, hard wood, reinforced with a layer of steel. There were grilled openings through which guards could see. It was mid-afternoon. A payroll of slightly less than $250,000 was expected, and it had to be made up, removed to the factory for which it was intended, and distributed to the workers there at 5 o'clock. The clerks of the Alvin Protection Company were waiting and ready. Outside, the armored car pulled up. Sacks of money were transferred through the lobby, into a special elevator, and thence to the offices. Everything moved with the smoothness of clockwork. 20 minutes later, a second armored car rolled up. 4 men got out. They had no cash to bring in, but were to transport the payroll to the factory as soon as it was prepared. The quartet entered the elevator, came out on the second floor, chatting amiably, and walked down the hall. Only 2 guards were posted outside now. One of them glanced sharply at the 4 men, started to move forward, then stopped. The hand which had darted toward his gun froze there, and he was looking into the businesslike muzzles of 2 other weapons. The quartet worked fast then. Both corridor guards were knocked out and stuffed into a supply closet. The 4 men quickly dusted off their clothing and walked briskly up to the main entrance of the protection company. Meanwhile, singly and by pairs, 8 other men had appeared in the corridor. They had walked up from the lobby. All were young, well-dressed, and moved toward their destination as well-trained soldiers might move. One of the men wearing the uniform of a guard banged a fist on the main door. The slot opened, and the men inside could see only 1 guard standing there. All the other men outside had flattened themselves against the wall. There were many armored car guards passing in and out of the offices these days, plenty of them new men. So the door guard merely glanced at the uniform and slid back the heavy bolt. Instantly, the outside guard set his shoulder against the door and shoved. The guard inside went reeling backward, and the door was...